evening to your evening gospel service. And don't panic, I'm not preaching, so just the Reverend Park, as you heard this morning, he has a wee bit of a frog in his throat. Well, we're trying to get rid of that at the moment. So if you hear a squeal, that's sort of what's happening. But he is struggling a wee bit, but so he just asked us to lead for him tonight. So we're going to open our service by singing together the words of the hymn 597, Who Are These Beside the Chilly Wave? We'll stand while we sing our opening praise, please.
Thank you.
in prayer. I understand Reverend McRae is in the service somewhere. I need another pair of glasses because I can't see him. But he is somewhere. Wherever he is there. It's not hard to miss. But brother, you and Anne are very welcome. We're going to ask our brother to lead us to the throne of grace in an opening word of prayer, please.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of gathering in Thy house this evening. We thank Thee for the house of the Lord, where the children of God can come and worship Thee and praise Thy glorious and Thy wonderful and Thy powerful name. We thank Thee, our God, for this house built and set apart for the preaching of the gospel. We thank Thee for Thy servant that's called to preach the gospel in this place. We pray that Thou will use him mightily for the glory and the honor of Thy name this evening. We pray that, our God, that You'll cover the meeting in the precious blood. We thank Thee for the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all of our sin. We pray that Thou will pour out Thy Spirit upon this meeting. And, O God, through the simplicity and the power of the preaching of Thy Word, may precious souls come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, we praise Thee, our God, for the Lord Jesus, the one who shed His precious blood upon the cross of Calvary, that we might be redeemed. We thank Thee, our God, for the truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank Thee, our God, that tonight, that if there's someone in this gathering, and they still are on that crowded road that goes to hell, we pray that tonight, Lord, that they might look away to Jesus and find in Him eternal salvation. We pray that You'll bless this time of worship. O God, help us to be still. Help us to know that Thou art God. We pray that Thou wilt move in the service this evening. Fill Thy servant with power and liberty in the Holy Ghost. And as he preaches Christ, give him the joy of leading some precious soul or souls to the Savior. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I'd ask Mervyn to lead in the opening part tonight, for we've had a little bit of hoarseness for about 5 weeks and it's not getting much better. I'm looking forward to next week, the young people taking responsibility for the meeting and preaching the word. We want to make the announcements just now. No one wants to make the announcements, so I step forward to do that. We bid you welcome in the Saviour's precious name to the house of God this evening. Mr. McRae and his wife Anne, and some visitors from Port Rush, I believe, brought in by Nan and George. We welcome you in the Lord's great name. And those that are listening in on the internet, we're very glad to have you as part of our service tonight. Special meeting on Wednesday night. It's the second of its kind, the ladies' fellowship meeting at 8 o'clock. And the soloist is Sarah Moffat. And Vi Dawson will be speaking as our guest speaker on the subject, A Royal Audience. And ladies, you're invited. Men, you're not. You're shut out for this time, but it is a ladies' meeting, and refreshments will be served after the service. Thursday night is the midweek at 8 p.m. and this is the Thursday that we give special prayer for our Christian school. Friday and Saturday is an outreach work to the Ballymoney Show, and our church will have a stall there, and our brother John McCauley, one of our elders, is responsible for that. And you see him, if you can be part of that outreach and fill in an hour or maybe half an hour or 2 hours, whatever the case might be, and let's be a witness to the folks of our town and the surrounding area. Young people, you're encouraged to help out on Friday night. Friday night is your usual night for the youth fellowship. Go to the show, be there at the stall, and be a witness for the Lord. There is a choir practice for the young people afterwards at 8:30. Do remember the prayer meeting next Lord's Day at 8 o'clock, Sabbath school 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30, and then it's Youth Sunday, 12, noon and 7, and the young people will be responsible for the services, and our students will be preaching the word. Remember the time of prayer beforehand at 6:30. Refreshments will be served after the evening service, and the ladies are asked to bring half a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns. There is a team meeting for those going on the Romanian outreach this year. We're leaving on the 24th of June, and some preparation needs to be made. Remember that. We'll confirm the time. We have suggested 3:30. We just want to make sure that suits everyone. On behalf of our Sunday School Superintendent, there is a special event for the children of our Sunday School on Wednesday night, the 8th of June. They got this information home in a letter, but this is just to mention it to the church here tonight so that you can also remember the children. It's a football tournament at Score in Coleraine. Thinking of our Sunday School outing, it's really a church outing for the children of the Sunday School and also all the folks that attend here today out for the church. The buses are leaving on Saturday the 11th of June at 9:30 to go to Crawfordsburn and Bangor. Please put your name on the sheet provided, or the sheets provided, as the case might be. Looking forward to the 19th of June, it's Children's Day, 12 noon and 7, and two of our elders will be speaking at Children's Day, Phil and Wesley, so we're looking forward to that. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings for God's work. Today is the home mission. Next Lord's Day is Let the Bible Speak and the Missionary Covenant Support. In congratulating some this morning who had been married for a significant number of years, there was one couple that I didn't hear about until after the service, and that is Jean and or William and Jean Calderwood, and they have actually on the 27th of this month celebrated 50 years of married life. So we do rejoice with them. This coming Saturday is a special service in Corticus Nuevis for the departure of Lyle and Heather. They have served the Lord for 36 years in the land of Spain, and they're taking their leave. They have a new pastor there, Alejandro Bernabeu, but Lyle and Heather are officially leaving. So remember that, a special service, and it marks their many years of Christian service in that land. You maybe saw the picture of this old man. Our Ukrainian friends, of course, they worship with us on a Sunday morning, and then they have their own service on a Sunday night as their pastor seeks to maintain his own pastoral care of the congregation. But this was an old man that was rescued from Kharkiv this week, and you see the picture on the right-hand side. That's how he looked when he was rescued. On the left-hand side, he's all cleaned up, and when he wakened, he said, "Is this God's house? Is this heaven?" Because there was such a change. And you know, this man didn't know the Lord, 94 years of age. But thank God, there at the House of Hope, he came to trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we rejoice in the midst of difficult circumstances with the war and all the devastation that's going on in Ukraine, that God is still working and God is moving, and he's bringing souls to himself even at a later stage of life, as this man is. We're not able to speak in Pakistan this morning, but we're very glad that Glenn Hamilton stepped in and he spoke to this group of people in a tribal area. And you remember the work in Pakistan and these contacts that we have, that the Lord will bless the preaching of his word. These are all the announcements that I have to make. Thank you.
We'll sing together the words of a hymn. "There will be no dark valley when Jesus comes."
Thank you.
seated. We're turning in the Word of God to Revelation chapter 21 and reading some verses from this chapter and then into chapter 22 as well. It's a tremendous hymn tonight reminding us that there's no dark valley when Jesus comes. And we will be coming in the Word of God tonight to think about those things that you'll not find in heaven. And thank God there's no darkness there, there's no sorrow there, there's no sickness there. It seems that so many are added to the list week by week requesting prayer because of sickness and infirmity and affliction that they're facing. We are remembering Aaron in prayer, Stephen and Caroline. We think of the new date that has been given for the surgery. Twice the operation has been cancelled, and now a third time it's been scheduled for Tuesday the 8th. Is it the 8th? The 7th. Tuesday the 7th. And he goes in the day before just to get him prepared. So remember Aaron at the throne of grace in prayer. Remember the dear lady who stays with us from Ukraine. She is expecting in the month of August. She is suffering with a form of arthritis. She came here in a lot of pain. Some days have been good, some days not so good. We hadn't seen her for 2 days. She wasn't able to come down at all because of the severity of the pain that she was in. And she had to go to A&E this afternoon. So we're still waiting to hear a report of how she's got on. But you pray for Vika that the Lord will ease the pain and distress that she is in. Now let's read these verses together. Revelation chapter 21, first of all, and reading together the opening 8 verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things were passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, but the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree
were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Ending our reading at the fifth verse of the 22nd chapter, we know that God will bless the reading of his word. Let's unite together in prayer. Let's just seek the Lord briefly. Our Father, we thank you for all that has gone before in this worship time at the gospel meeting. We praise you for heaven and all the glories of it. We're glad, those of us that are in Christ, to know that we're going there one day. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We pray that you will help us to be faithful until that day. And for those who are strangers to your grace and do not know Christ, maybe even sitting with us tonight in this service or listening in on the internet, O God, we pray that you will speak to them, that you will open their heart to gospel truth, show them the way, the truth and the life found in the very person and work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill me now with God the Holy Spirit. Give me the help and the power and the wisdom that I need to bring the gospel message, I ask in Jesus' precious and all-prevailing name. Amen. Life is a journey, and you and I as Christians are travelers in this journey. The world to which we are going is generally unknown to us except what the scriptures of truth have revealed to us. We have this great hope and prospect that at the end of the journey there is a glorious place that is called heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And thank God that's what the Lord is doing now. He's preparing that place for his own dearly beloved people. Heaven is only for those that are saved, for those that are found in Christ, who are washed and redeemed by the precious blood of the Savior. What a wonderful hope every single believer has tonight. As you sit in this gospel service, this is the certain hope that you have in your heart. You're going to glory one day. We have something to look forward to. We're going to dwell with God in the three persons of his character and being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be there with the holy angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the living creatures that we read about before the throne of God, and those wonderful angelic beings, celestial creatures of which the Bible speaks. Now, the book of Revelation has a lot to say about this place. In fact, this book reveals more about the glories that are yet to be of our eternal home than any other book of the Bible. It tells us something about the beauty and the splendor of heaven. What is heaven like? It's a question that has often been asked. The various details are revealed to us in God's word about the eternal abode of the believer. It is called the Father's house. It's the place of the many mansions. It's a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It is a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. It is the kingdom of God. It is the glory that shall be revealed to us one day. It's a rest to the people of God. But the details and descriptions of heaven, they rise to a climax when you come to the last book of the Bible, when John the Beloved, by revelation, gazes upon the wonders of that land that is fairer than day. And even within this mysterious book, the details seem to rise to a zenith as you come to the final two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. I commend that you study these chapters for yourselves. Ponder the wonderful and the glorious descriptions, what is being described here of what heaven is like. Here heaven is called a great city, the Holy Jerusalem. It has a wall that is great and high. And in that wall there are 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 foundations. The city lies four square. The length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of it are all equal, each measuring 12,000 furlongs. That's about 1,500 miles, the distance between London and Athens. The wall of it was of jasper, or is of jasper. The city is of pure gold, like unto clear glass. There are precious stones of jasper, sapphire, emerald, sardis, beryl, topaz, and so forth. The street of the city is of pure gold. And we read about a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. There is a tree of life for the healing of the nations. And there we have the throne of God and of the Lamb that is central to the whole place. What a sight to behold. The splendor, the beauty, the magnificence, the excellence of heaven. We have our homes here upon the earth. And we love our homes. But it's nothing compared to the heavenly home to which we're going. It is far beyond anything that we have ever seen on earth. It exceeds all that we could conjure up in our puny imagination. It will be beyond our wildest dreams. Now, although the Bible reveals certain aspects about heaven, we will never realize the full extent of its joy and its wonder until we go there. I often think about that verse in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." It does go on to say in the next verse, "But these things have been revealed, and they have been revealed in part." But truly, these eyes of ours, our physical eyes have not seen, our physical ears have not heard, and truly we have not fully comprehended with these hearts of ours all the glory and the splendor of what heaven is going to be like. Although there are many descriptions given about heaven and what you will find in it, there are things that will not be there. Now, usually we think about the positive. We like to think about the things that will be there, and we rejoice in the descriptions that we've read in God's word and pondered over a little tonight. But I want to think about the negative, the things that will not be in heaven, those things that are present now in this world, but they will not be in the next world. What you will never find in heaven is the subject for tonight. And John, in this last book of the Bible, in these final chapters, he gives a catalogue of evils that will not be permitted on the fair shores of the heavenly city. Look at chapter 21 and verse 4. We have the first four things that are revealed to us here. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." There's no death. No death is the very first thing to be emphasized. Death has no final triumph for the believer. I want you to know that. I want to emphasize that tonight. I think of those glorious words in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26, where the apostle reminds us that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Oh, we've only one more enemy to face, or one final enemy to face, and that is death itself. Look at verse 54. "When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." As you think of those words, I want to mention 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, where we read, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel." In this life, we are familiar with death. It's a reality that we face every day. We all know of loved ones and friends that have been taken from us. Across the road we have a cemetery. It's a testament to the reality that one day we're going to die. It's a fact that stares us in the face. The sorrowful heart, the tearful eye, the broken spirit, the empty chair, the silent voice, the undertaker, the hearse, the funeral procession, the open grave, the cemeteries, the tombstones, the obituary columns, they're all proclaiming loudly that death is a reality. It is something that none shall escape, except for those believers who are alive at the end of time when Jesus comes again. And then we know, according to Paul, that the dead in Christ will rise first, but then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Apart from that number of believers who will be living on earth at the end of time when Jesus comes again, every man, every woman must pass this way. In life, we are in the midst of death. We're going down the valley one by one. It's appointed unto man once to die. But there's no death in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful truth? This is the reversal of the curse of Genesis chapter 3. Death came through the fall of man. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Wherefore death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And when Adam, our first parent, died, or when that sentence was passed upon him, that sentence of death, it was threefold. It meant physical death. That very moment, Adam now became liable to die in a physical sense. It meant spiritual death. He was cut off from the fellowship of God immediately. And it also meant eternal death. He became liable to die forevermore in that awful place that is called hell. But Christ came to give life. Life that's abundant and life that is eternal. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And speaking of his sheep, he says, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish." Christ has abolished death. All the undertakers will be out of a job. Grave diggers will be unemployed. Post-mortem doctors will be made redundant. Preachers will never preach another funeral sermon in the upper garden of glory. I will never have to visit a home that has sorrow in it because death has come to that family. I will never have to preside at a funeral service again. I will never follow a hearse. I will never stand in an open gravesite again or watch the coffin of a dear loved one being lowered into the earth. I will never have to comfort the bereaved anymore because death is gone forever. You see, when the believer dies physically, he will never experience death again. Unlike those who die without Christ. Oh, the Bible speaks about the second death. The second death, which is the lake of fire. But the Christian does not die in this way. In fact, the Christian does not really die. He just passes on. Passes on to glory. And a million years will go by. And life will still be as joyful and as abundant as ever. John Newton penned those beautiful words. "Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, We have no less days to sing God's praise than when we had first begun. There's no death in heaven. But then there's no sorrow. How many aching hearts and troubled souls there are in this land of ours today. Countless multitudes. Here we are surrounded by many sorrows. There's many kinds of sorrows. And they come for all different kinds of reasons. Sorrow through bereavement in the family. Sorrow through injury. Sorrow through problems that we have to face. Sorrow through sickness. But there's no such thing in glory. No sorrow is banished forevermore. Joseph Parker of London, he uttered some splendid words concerning that passage of scripture in Isaiah 35 and verse 10, where we're told that sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And this is what he said. Take up an old dictionary, and once in a while you will come across a word marked obsolete. The time is coming when those two words, sorrow and sighing, shall be obsolete. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away to be no more. Thank God for the outlook. Dear child of God, tonight, if you're sorrowing, if you're in grief, I want you to take heart. You're going to a land where sorrow has been eradicated forever. Your soul will never more be cast down. Your heart will never more be weary or discouraged, because there's no sorrow in heaven. Notice thirdly, there's no crying. Many tears are shed today. The ungodly and the godly alike. Doesn't matter whether we are a Christian or not. Tears is the common portion of all mankind. The tears of a Christian, we know, are special to God. The Bible speaks about the Lord gathering up our tears and putting them in a bottle. But there's coming a day when God will not be gathering up our tears. God will be wiping away our tears. Wiping them away forever. Isaiah speaks about this in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. God himself, as our tender Father, will one day come with his handkerchief, and he will wipe away the tears from our faces, from our eyes. No tear will ever again push its way through these eyes and roll down these cheeks. Your face will never again be stained with the rivers of hot tears that you've had to shed. Your countenance will never more be saddened. Crying will never echo through the golden streets of glory. It's unknown there. All the causes of future sorrow will be forever removed. Praise God. And then he speaks about no pain. As we cast our minds back over the short years of our lives, we all remember times of suffering. As children, we received many knocks and bruises and cuts. That has been our continual experience. Multitudes of fellow believers suffer great pain. Our young children, our old folk. I know of some godly saints whose bodies are wrecked with pain. Many are lying in hospital beds this very night. We think of our brother Mervyn Miller this evening and the pain that he's been in for over a week now. We think of Vika up there in A&E in the hospital, suffering intense pain. And so many others that are on our prayer list that we are remembering daily before the Lord, and their bodies are wrecked with pain. Oh, what suffering in this present life. Thousands of Christians bearing their cross and suffering a different kind of pain. It's the pain of persecution for the cause of Christ. Many of them have passed through the waters of affliction and the fiery trials, and they have suffered pain emotionally and physically. Think of the words that the apostle wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35 through to verse 38. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. Oh, my friends, tonight, in our eternal home, pain will have vanished forever. There'll be no more suffering. Hallelujah. Let me say in the fifth place, there's no unbelievers. We read in chapter 21 and verse 8 these words. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A catalogue of various types of sinners is listed here. The fearful. Now, John is not speaking about that natural fear, but of that cowardice which in the last resort chooses self and sin over Christ. Men that are afraid to take up their cross and follow the Savior. Men who are afraid to own Him as their Lord. Men who are unwilling and fearful to forsake the world and be saved. But they were not afraid of sin. They were not afraid of rejecting Christ. They were not afraid of walking in the paths of evil. But they were fearful in coming to Christ. There'll be no fearful people in heaven in that category. The unbelieving are mentioned here. Those who have not trusted in Christ. Those who have not exercised faith in Him as their personal Savior. The abominable. Those who have defiled themselves in various ways. There is probably the idea that to accept the practices and the ideas of the heathen were abominable things. But certainly the worst kind of sins are included here in the word abominable. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers. Those that have taken the lives of others. The whoremongers. Those who have craved after sensual and sexual sin. The lusting of the flesh. They'll not be there. The sorcerers. Those who practice magic and charming and dabble in witchcraft or consult with the devil and familiar spirits. The idolaters. Those who have followed other gods. People that they put in the place of God. They have become idols. Liars, speaking of falsehood and hypocrisy, such sinners will not be in heaven. No sinner is permitted to enter into that glorious place. Isn't that what Paul reinforced in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, verse 10, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you die in that condition, you'll not be in heaven. There's no sinners there, no unbelievers there. Only those who have come to Christ and have had their sins dealt with. You know, the apostle went on to say in the next verse, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, and such were some of you. But something has happened. Something has changed their lives, changed their destiny, changed our whole eternity. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is through repentance and faith in Christ. But those who die in their sin will not be there. There's no night there. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation and verse 25. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And that's reinforced in chapter 22 and verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The heavenly Jerusalem will never know darkness. Unlike earthly cities, this one does not shut its gates when darkness comes. Within that place is perpetual light. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars shining. No shadow will ever cast itself upon those streets. No dimness will ever penetrate its atmosphere, because God himself gives light to that place. Chapter 21 and verse 23 reminds us of that. Thank God there's no sin. Chapter 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In this world, we are surrounded by sin and by evil men. Days are waxing worse and worse. The earth is filled with violence. It's filled with wickedness and corruption and immorality and filthiness and crime. You just need to look around you. You don't need to look to Ukraine or Russia or some of these other places. Just look around you in Northern Ireland. Our country is gradually sliding into the abyss itself. Like Lot, our righteous souls are vexed by the sights that we see. But praise God, this world is not our home. It's not our resting place. My eyes are upon a better place. Like Abraham, I'm looking for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. No uncleanness or impurity will pierce the gates of this city. Then notice finally, there's no curse there. There's no hoarseness there. Amen. Chapter 22 and verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That word curse is actually the Greek word a cursed thing. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy that we read in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 11. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. I want you to mark that phrase. The phrase utter destruction is the word curse, or it means curse. Sin brought the curse of God upon this world. You just need to study Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was cursed in verse 14. The woman was cursed in verse 16. Man was cursed in verse 17, and the very ground in verse 18 was cursed. But Christ removes the curse, and he removes the curse through the salvation that he has provided. He came to be a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The substitutionary work of Jesus Christ removes the curse. I want to end on that note tonight. I want to remind you of the precious blood of Christ. That blood that was shed for the remission of our sin. That blood that was shed to remove the curse from us and to make us fit for the kingdom of heaven. But my friends, the blood needs to be applied by faith to your heart and to your soul. There is no curse in heaven. Therefore, rejoice. Rejoice if you're a child of God tonight. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in your destination. That heaven is your eternal reward. I wonder, are you going to this place? Are you prepared for heaven? Are you saved by the grace of God? If not, I implore you to turn to Christ tonight and to seek Him as your personal Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. Just as our heads are bowed and we're before the Lord tonight in the closing minutes, we brought this message in human weakness, and we've just struggled a little bit tonight with our voice, but I trust that the words have been clear and plain in your heart and mind. Thank God there is a heaven to which the people of God are traveling, going there not because of any good in us. There's nothing good in any one of us, but going there because of the goodness of Christ and His mercy that He showed towards us when He came to be the Redeemer. My friends, if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to be saved. You need the Lord in this meeting. And we would just love to know that it's well with you and that you're traveling to heaven also, that will be your eternal destination. But you can't get there apart from Christ. He came to die in our stead and to take our place so that we might at length go to heaven saved by His precious blood. Will you turn to Him? Will you come to Him now, even at the close of this service? Oh God, our Father, bless Your word. Help us to think about these things that You've taught in the Scriptures, in these final chapters of Your word. We thank You for heaven, the place prepared for the people of God. We rejoice in the many, many glories and beauties that there will be there, and the joys that we will experience, and oh, to see Christ, our blessed Redeemer. But Lord, we're glad also that there's things that are going to be absent, these things that Your word has told us about tonight. We praise You, there's no death there, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no curse, no night. Oh, all these things are removed forever. We'll never experience them again. Oh, Lord, we're glad about that tonight. But there are some, and they're not ready for heaven. They have not made the preparation. Some that are gathered here in this service, some that are listening on right now on the internet. Oh, God, speak to them. Show them the Redeemer. Help them to flee their sin and to flee the wrath of God to come. Help them to start for heaven tonight as they come to know Christ as their personal Savior. These things we ask in His name. Amen. And amen. We're going to sing 612 in closing. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. It's reminding us again in this closing hymn of that time when the heartaches will be gone forever and the tears will be gone forever. Why? Because we're at home with Christ in that glorious place called heaven. Are you going there? If not, start for heaven tonight. Come to know Christ. Let's sing this hymn together in closing.
Oh,
God, our Father, dismiss us now with your blessing. Let your word live on. Let the thoughts of heaven be in our hearts tonight. We pray that men and women will get right with God. Lord, save the lost for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' worthy name, amen and amen.